Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. St. Paul writes to the Philippians from our second reading, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, emptied himself, by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." This is our text. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, which means to be seized or snatched or obtained by robbery. Why would St. Paul say that about Jesus? After all, he was in the form of God. Or as we say in the Nicene Creed, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. He didn't need to grasp it. Equality with God was already his. From eternity and into eternity, he was equal with God. You might remember that even his enemies accused him of making himself equal with God. They recognized that by what he said and did, by forgiving sins, by raising the dead, by claiming the judgment, that judgment belonged to him, he was making himself equal with God. Because he knew he was God. That's the whole point. He already knows that he is God. And yet, St. Paul makes clear he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't. But someone else did. Someone else counted equality with God a thing to be grasped, seized, snatched, and sought at. Satan. Satan considered equality with God a thing to be grasped. He said in his heart, "I will ascend to heaven. Above the stars of God, I will set my throne on high." That's how the rebellion began, with grasping. By enthroning another in the place that belongs to the Lord God, the Lord had said, "You shall have no other gods." But Satan said, "I shall be God." And then the rebellion came to earth. Satan seduced Adam and Eve with that same thought. "You will not surely die. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Like God." So they reached out, they grasped for it, not just for the fruit, but they wanted to be like God, equal to God. Satan counted equality with God a thing to be grasped, and Adam and Eve counted equality with God a thing to be grasped, but not Jesus, who was God. He did the opposite. He, who was with God and was God, didn't try to hold on to what he had from eternity. Though he was God, he chose to pour himself out. That's the kind of attitude, the kind of will, the kind of mind that he had. His life was never about himself. It was never about grasping or holding or keeping. He made himself nothing. He emptied himself. He, who was in the form of God, took on not just the form of a man, but the form of a servant, a slave. He didn't strive for more. He didn't hold on to what he had. He bent down for less. He spent what was his. He took the lower place. How far? How low did he go? And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. Many of us have heard these words time and time again. We've celebrated Holy Week and Good Friday, and we've heard the preaching of Christ crucified again and again and again. But let us not forget what it means. Let our hearts not grow dull to the amazing wonder of what Jesus did for us. You know, that's not how it should have been. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, the disciples should have been washing his feet instead of him washing theirs. I mean, here is God in human flesh. The whole thing should have been about him and about the huge sorrow that he was carrying. But it wasn't. Where was Jesus on that night? He was the one on the floor. He was the one with the basin and the towel. His mind was on them. His attitude was to prepare them for what they would see happen to him. He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned that they would be scared when they saw him nailed up, pouring out his blood to the point of death, the last drop spent on the cross. How different from Satan, and how different from Adam, and how different from us. Adam grasped, Jesus gave. Adam was disobedient, Jesus obedient. That's how they were different, and they were not only different in life, they were also different in death. I mean, Adam deserved his death. You heard what that thief on the cross said when he was hanging beside Jesus. We deserve the sentence that we are under. But Jesus didn't. He was innocent. Adam died as a penalty for his sin. Jesus died to atone for Adam's sin. And for yours. And mine. All our disobedience, all our grasping, all our wanting to be equal to God, that's what he grasped, Jesus. He grasped you and your sin and your death and your hell to undo what Adam did, to give you forgiveness and life in the midst of a world of sin and death. To give you something you can hold on to in the midst of a world that is always grasping for more. We heard it a few minutes ago, how Jesus gave himself for you. He chose not to defend himself. He chose not to speak up for himself. He chose not to save himself. He chose to humble himself and to die for us. For all of us who still, too often, are seeking to grasp equality with God. What do I mean? When do we make ourselves equal to God? How about this? When we want to judge what is right and wrong based on what we think or feel, rather than on what God's word teaches. That's wanting to make ourselves equal to God. Or when we want to be in control, when we think we need to be in charge of everything, master of our own lives and situations, rather than trusting God and his ways. That's making ourselves equal to God. Or when we doubt his love and think that we could do better, we are making ourselves equal with God. When we expect God to conform to us instead of us to conform to Him, we make ourselves equal to God. When we demand that He must answer our prayers in the way and the time and the manner that we expect, instead of praying, "Thy will be done," we make ourselves equal to God. In all these ways, we are still grasping after that equality. We find it hard, difficult. Our sinful nature finds it impossible to let God be God and for us to be creatures. And that's why we pray for His help. We did it today, just before the readings. We asked God that He would mercifully grant that we may follow the example of Jesus' great humility and patience and be made partakers of His resurrection. What a beautiful prayer. That we may follow the example of his humility and patience and be made partakers of His resurrection. How? By humbling ourselves. By humbling ourselves and admitting the truth that we are poor, pitiful sinners, and that we have and too often do grasp after equality with God. And not only equality with God, but we grasp after all sorts of other things as well, things that belong to our neighbors and to others, things that we covet and desire. Humbling ourselves by admitting the truth, and then receiving what we could never grasp for ourselves, what we could never get by our own effort or work, by simply receiving the forgiveness of our sins and saying to it, "Amen." The rebellion is over. The Son of God has come in the flesh. And we can acknowledge, and we do today, we acknowledge that there is no justification for my sin, for my doing sin. And that if I am to be justified, if I am to be raised from the death of my sin, it must come from outside of me and you. It must be given to us from above by the one who was perfect and obedient and who died not for his own sin but for my sin and who now lives to give you and me life. That's the first way. And the second is like it, that we may be made partakers of his resurrection in the forgiveness of our sins. In the forgiveness of sins, not only by having our sins forgiven, but that we might participate in the risen life of Jesus by humbling ourselves before others, forgiving their sins, being the one to stoop down with the basin and the towel and wash their feet. Not because they're the greatest people ever, but because they are dying sinners like us, whom God has sent us to serve and to love. Living the new resurrection life we have been given by pouring ourselves out for one another. Forgiving, helping, loving, covering the sins of our neighbor as Jesus has covered ours because he paid for every single one of them. That's what the mind of Christ looks like. That's what Jesus has done and gives to us, and that's what he calls us to by the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk in the newness of life, not grasping after greatness, but humbly serving others and considering them greater than ourselves. That's Jesus, who was God, who had nothing to gain by humbling himself except us. And here we are, his children, already forgiven, already with a new life, raised and justified and set free, with nothing to gain by serving ourselves, but so that we can lower ourselves in the same way for others. This is having the mind of Christ. At the beginning of the service today, we reenacted, followed Jesus, and heard how he humbly entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And then we heard how he humbly left Jerusalem carrying a cross. We've heard already this church year how he humbled himself by being born of a virgin and being laid in a manger. And throughout this week, we'll hear the humility of his death. This is your God, who did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to, but made himself nothing for our sake. And we'll hear even more as well. We'll hear as well today how Jesus humbly comes to us in, with, and under the bread and wine. How Jesus was not content simply to wash the feet of the disciples on the night when he was betrayed, but who so desired to serve you by giving you this body and this blood, to strengthen your faith, to forgive your sins, to give you his own life. So instead of grasping for equality with God, which is just grasping at straws, instead of trying to make ourselves like God, instead we grasp what Jesus gives. He says, I forgive your sins. And we say, amen. He says, this is my body, this is my blood. And we say, amen. Thank you, Jesus. This is what we need. The one who is very God, who humbled himself and is now exalted on high, also promises that he will exalt us. Where he is, there we shall be also. And as we confess him now here, we will confess him there as well. As we bow our knee to him here, we will also with joy bow our knee to him there. And so marvel at what he has done, not only today, but throughout this week, at home and at church, as we walk day by day and step by step with our Lord, marveling at the one who is God, but did not grasp or hold on to that equality with God, instead humbled himself, made himself nothing, so that he could grasp you in his pierced and forgiving hands. And marvel that what he does for you is to bring you from death to life. And he will not let go of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.